So if you will declare with me, say, Lord Jesus, thank you for my eyes to be open.
Thank you for my eyes to be open.
Thank you for my ears to hear.
Thank you for my ears to hear.
What your spirit is saying to me.
What your spirit is saying to me.
And I'm giving you praise.
And I'm giving you praise.
As your plan unfolds for me.
As your plan unfolds for me.
It is awesome indeed.
It is awesome indeed.
Thank you for my heart to perceive.
What your Holy Spirit
is unfolding to me. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. I want to take you to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. I'm going to give you quickly Romans 2:1 because I want you to be aware and to recognize that the Lord with St. Paul, you know, he doesn't beat around the bush. He wants you to face facts. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, I know if you read the Amplified, it gets a little scary, because it is on target. It crosses the I's and, you know, crosses the T's and dots the I's, actually. So who's got the Amplified? Go ahead.
Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, old man.
There you go. I want it on record. Go ahead.
Therefore, you have no excuse or defense or justification, old man, whoever you are who judges and condemns another. For imposing as judge and passing sentence on another, you condemn yourself, because you who judge are habitually practicing the very same things that you censor and denounce.
Yeah. Go verse 2.
But we know that the judgment, adverse verdict, sentence of God falls justly and in accordance with truth upon those who practice such things.
Go ahead, one more.
And do you think or imagine, O man, when you judge and condemn those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape God's judgment and elude his sentence and adverse verdict?
Yeah. Heavy, right? I remember one time the Holy Spirit was pushing my buttons about that verse, and he was reminding me that when I see someone doing something, it identifies my own weakness, especially if I see it in someone else and it makes me angry. So the Lord said to me, you can use that as a tool to identify whatever weaknesses are in you and then submit them to the Lord. Because how many have had some weaknesses that they can't deal with because the more you try, the worse you get. The more you focus on the problem, the bigger it becomes a mountain. So I had to learn that if I was aware that I was practicing the very same things, it was identifying a negative in me. And God wanted me to change that. And again, verse 4 in the NIV says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his tolerance, and his patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance or towards the change of mind and attitude? So God's allowing things to continue sometimes just for me and you to change our minds about a weakness in someone else or a weakness in ourselves. Verse 5, but because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. If you'll notice, God is looking to bring healing and a change of mind in every one of us. A change of mind is something that sometimes I found that I couldn't change my own mind. I would get to a block. Maybe that's that vault. You know, it's something that's sealed up that I have no clue how it got there, but I've had it ever since I can remember. It could be a weakness from my family tree, because sometimes that happens. But I had to ask the Lord how kind you really are, how tolerant and patient you are. See, that's verse 4. The riches of his kindness, his tolerance and his patience, and not realizing God's kindness leads me towards repentance. So he's focusing on my problem. He's actually trying to get me to run to him for help. So when I run to the Lord for help, what happens? I'm humbling myself. James chapter 4 says, humble yourself before the Lord and change your mind. So how do you change your mind? Did you ever try and not succeed? Because the emotions get tied up in it. And when we follow our emotions, we're following all the things that have caused us to get into trouble most of the time. So what I'm trying to make you aware of tonight is that take a good look when you hear your mouth or your thought patterns going against someone who has offended you, hurt you, trying to maybe adjust their lifestyle or whatever. And you're looking at the situation saying, huh, how in the world are they ever going to make it? Maybe because you're having a change of heart, you can pray for them. It's really asking the Lord for help for yourself and your neighbor. See, if you see a weakness in someone, in a child, for instance, my little baby girl there was having some belly problems, and of course somebody held her, and of course she's wailing, oh my God, and the mama says she's hungry. Well, they gave her a bottle and that didn't work. That wasn't the problem at all. So solving the problem with a bottle, somebody said even adults use a bottle. Okay, doesn't solve anything, but it is medication for the moment. It takes away the pain for that instant. Mm-hmm. And in my situation, both my parents were alcoholics for a season, for 17 years to be exact. And I got so angry that I was focused on the problem. And the more I got angry, the worse I got. Because my tolerance level, my patience level, my love flow was shut down. Oh, and I went for help, by the way. I went for help. I went and paid, of course, a psychiatrist to tell me that if I wanted to bring up my own kids, that I should definitely consider killing both of them in my own mind so that I would be able to bring up my kids. That was his solution. Now, how I got out of there, and he put me on 20 milligrams of Librium every 4 hours, so that was, you know, that was his solution. I walked into my office. I sat down in the chair. My wife was in the other area. I couldn't move. I bawled my eyes out. I was just so broken. But I made a commitment. At that moment, I made a vow that I was all done trying to help or pick up all the pieces. Well, that really wasn't the solution. But you see, I had been given advice. It was very good advice from their point of view, but it shattered me. Did I expect that God would use that very thing to change my mind? No, I didn't. But you see, my anger, my ability to tolerate their bad choices and what they were trying to do to themselves caused me so much resentment that even my love flow was canceled. Okay? It really was. I mean, I'm not making believe now. I'm telling you the truth. And several weeks later, my cousin calls me. He's at the emergency room with my mother. And he says, Kim, the doctor wants you to come down at the ER right now. He said, because your mother's having a hard time to communicate. And of course she was drunk and she had pills, you know, because she was solving her problems, okay? And my answer was, look, I'm not going. You can tell the doctor I will not go. She's on her own, and that's the bottom line. Oh, he says, you've got to come down. And I said, no, I don't. He said, what if she dies? I said, we bury her Wednesday. And I hang up the phone. My wife was right there. So you see what anger does? The very thing that was killing her was now killing me. And I was full of anger. I was full of resentment. Because I could not change her choices. So now I actually joined. Because in me became the same demonic garbage that was trying to kill her was trying to kill me. Then I made a decision. The next decision in my list was to buy some very high quality accidental insurance. I'm not teasing. I'm telling you the truth. So I went to the agent and I bought X amount of life insurance, double indemnity. So if it was an accident, it would be doubled. So I would solve all my problems by crashing my car on a particular highway. I knew exactly which abutment I was going to use, etc. And I would end it all. That's what my visit to the psychiatrist gave me. Now, are all psychiatrists like that? I'm not saying they are, but that's the one I got. Now, did I get a solution? Yes. Oh my God. The Librium was awesome. At least I could I could sleep. I got rid of the pain in my chest. I could literally lay down at night and had at least maybe 3 to 4 hours. And then I'd be up again and the circle would start all over again. What was God doing? He was trying to get me to the end of my rope. So I'd cry out to him. And I didn't know. Did I read the word? Yeah, once in a while I'd, you know, get into the word. But you see, I was involved in trying to get my act together. I was involved trying to bring up my kids. All good reasons, right? But not God. Until a buddy came over. I happened to know him. He had gone through a divorce. He was a recovered alcoholic. Sat down in my office with me and Irene. And he tells me that he just got remarried. And he's got a boutonniere and he's all dressed up. And I said, you look great. He had 9 kids. He came from Nashua, New Hampshire. And he was one of my salesmen. He said, I just remarried my ex-wife. I said, well, for Pete's sakes, bring her in. I said, we can celebrate. This is awesome. So she comes in. And she gave us a testimony that blew my wife out of the water. My wife said, there's no way in hell that woman can be on target. She's gone over the deep end because she now has a word from her ex-husband and her children that said, Dad is now changed because he's born again. She didn't believe it. So she's sitting at a park bench in Florida, has no money, and said, God, if that's you and you want me to go home, because he said he wanted to talk with her. She says, I got no money and I can't go home. She says, and I'm not exaggerating, and she's looking at Irene and I, and she says, a bird came and brought me a $100 bill. It fell right at my feet. My wife said, ha, 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 yeah, right. I'm not kidding. This is truth. She then gives us the title of three books. One of them is Prison to Praise, and it changed my life. It changed my life from all the anger, and I could get rid of my life insurance that I didn't need anymore, because now I had life in me. You see, I was born again, but not filled with the Spirit. I didn't know how to pray. So that changed my life. I began to get a new mindset about my family, about my mom and my dad. And when I started to pray for mom and dad for the way they are and letting God's angels do the job, they both came to the Lord within 6 weeks. And all my problems now were brand new, because a whole new list of things came across. But you see what I learned? You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself. Because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, tolerance, patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance or towards a change of mind? But because you are stubborn, of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. I can tell you I've had a little flashpoint, because when my mom and dad came to the first prayer meeting, they both accepted the Lord. My mother got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and so did my dad. But mom ended up praying in the Spirit at 3 o'clock in the morning, because she was too afraid to make a mistake. So my dad woke up when she was babbling away in her bed, because they had twin beds at that time. But God put them back together. God put them back together piece by piece. Later on, several months later, my mom was set free from all the alcohol and all the desires of it. And she could sit down and have dinner with me and a glass of wine, and no headaches, no problems, no alcoholism, because God delivered her. She was no longer an alcoholic. She was a woman that was free. She died at 93, full of the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit every single day. Why? Because I got a change of mind. I got a new attitude, because I stopped judging and I started to get a new mindset about how to pray for the broken. The byproduct of that is me standing here. And I can truly say it was hell. Hell was ruling and I had no clue. If anybody would have told me demons were having a party with me, I would have told you, you know what? I don't care. That was where I was. How did I get changed? A little piece at a time. Close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, there's hope for me.
There is hope for me.
Those that cause me headaches.
Those that cause me headaches.
Those that cause me problems.
Those that cause me problems.
I give them to you.
I give them to you.
Because the problem is much too big for me.
Heal them.
Heal me.
Heal me.
And give me a new mindset.
Because
the old one didn't work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Share some hugs with each other, because I do believe that if you take this to heart, it will help. If you have never heard of Prison to Praise, I would suggest you get a copy, because it's a good book. Blessings to all.